Are there many other study groups around the country?
I don't know. I don't keep track of the NTI study groups. Yeah, I'm a very, you know, very non-controlling, basically when I had NTI, I listened to those words. When I had NTI, what I really felt like is I was giving birth. And when I sent it to the publisher, I felt like I was sending my child out into the world, and then it does what it does. I don't pay attention. Yeah.
But don't you know about that one with that fellow that was here from Springs?
Yeah, there is one in Arkansas that I know about, an NTI study group, and I think there's one in New England, and I think there's one in Louisville, or there used to be.
They're not doing the
NTI. They're not doing that anymore. So, but I mean, I really don't know. That's the honest answer. But every now and then somebody will tell me they have an NTI group, but then I also turn right around and forget that they said that.
I think I'm a starting one.
Oh, okay, good, good.
You have two Course in Miracles. I did a Course in Miracles group for a long time.
Let me see, what was I doing? I'm going to NTI.
And put the recorder on.
I did put the recorder on. One time I sat here and forgot to put the recorder on, and so I had to teach the same chapter of NTI the next day so that I could get a recording of it.
It worked out.
Yeah. All right, so here we go. The Holy Spirit's interpretation of Titus, which you said was on page 391 in the paperback, and it is in the Kindle as well. Looks like we might get a couple chapters done here. That first chapter is only three paragraphs, unless we have a lot to say about those three paragraphs. We'll see. NTI Titus chapter 1. The Father of all creation is God, which I think is a hilarious sentence. And I'm going to laugh. I don't know why I think it's hilarious. The Father of all creation is God. All creation comes from the Father, so it is like the Father in every way that it operates. The creation that does not know the Father believes it is separate from the Father. But when the Father is remembered, creation is remembered also. You know, the funny thing is, the reason I wanted to laugh at that first sentence is because you got two symbols there. The Father, which is a symbol of all creation, is God, which is another symbol. So there are probably a million and one ways to understand that sentence, right? In a way, it's a meaningless sentence. But if you read the rest of, probably the rest of Titus, but even if you read the rest of the paragraph, you might begin to get a sense of what this means when it says the Father of all creation is God. Earlier in NTI Ephesians, it said that God is a process. And so if you keep that definition in mind, that God is a process, this is saying the Father of all creation is process, right? The Father of all creation is process. All creation comes from the Father, so it is like the Father in every way that it operates. Notice how a process operates, right? You know, so all creation comes from the Father, so it is like the Father in every way that it operates. The creation that does not know the Father believes it is separate. You could think of it as separate from the process, outside the process. I'm not a part of the whole, right? The creation that does not know the Father believes it is separate from the Father. But when the Father is remembered, creation is remembered too, or the entire process and how everything affects everything and that makes everything. The Father is like his children and the children are like the Father, for there is no difference between them. This is not a matter of effort or change. This is the way it has always been, and what has always been shall never change. Most of us, at some point when we begin the spiritual path, we definitely believe we have to change in order to be like God, be like Christ, whatever our symbol is, be like Buddha. But what this is really saying is, of course, that the reality of this world, and it is talking about this world that we're touching here. This form world is really what it's talking about. But the reality of this world is this interactive process where everything is affecting everything. And whether we're aware of that interactive process or not aware of that interactive process is completely irrelevant, because the interactive process still is. We don't have to change to be a part of the interactive process. In fact, there's no way we can take ourselves out of it, right? It's impossible. So we are just like the Father, because the truth is we are that same process. The Father is a process. We are the process. You know, there's just nothing but this process of creation, verses 10 to 16. Anything that appears to separate you from your brother is a mirage. It is to be forgiven so you may see yourself and your brother truly. Anything that seems to separate you or your brother from God is a mirage also, for nothing can separate that which has been made inseparable. So again, it's just a sweet little introduction. You know, that's really all this is. So we probably will move on to chapter 2. So NTI Titus chapter 2. Teach your mind to listen to truth, and you teach the mind that it is a mirage also. In this way, the mind becomes willing to be quieted, and in the quiet of the mind, the echo of truth can be heard. Now, for me, this was an extremely interesting paragraph when I received it as a scribe. And in fact, I felt great resistance to it. Whenever you're a scribe, and this is probably true even when you're not a scribe, and you hear something that's really, really true, but outside of your present belief system, you can feel a huge amount of resistance, right? And so what I believed at this point was that the ego, and this, here the word mind means ego in this sentence, that the ego was my enemy. You know, I believe that the ego was the villain that had to somehow be wrestled and overcome, and this is saying that I can teach the ego to listen to truth, and that the ego will become willing to be quieted.
Can be tamed.
And you know, I had huge, huge, huge resistance to this. But actually what I've learned since then is that it's true. You know what? The ego, the mind, is actually a follower of what we are. The way the mind gets to be as loud as it gets to be is because of the attention we give to it when it's talking about certain things, and it gets to be loud. If you think about it, the previous paragraph, Titus, is explaining nothing can be separate from the process of God. Do you know what that includes?
Ego.
The ego. You know, if the ego is a loud, rambunctious ego, that's because of the process of creation. In other words, we have been giving it that kind of attention, and so it's responding to our attention. It doesn't have a life of its own, right?
It's nothing. The mind is nothing.
Yeah, and so if we start turning the attention in a different direction, giving the attention to the heart instead of the mind, reminding the mind, oh, you know, listen to this truth for a moment, because we really love this truth and all that, because nothing is separate from the process of creation, nothing is separate from the process of creation, the mind has to follow. The mind, or the ego, is merely an effect, right? This is great, great news. And in fact, before we turned the recorder on, we were kind of talking about this in a different way, but we were talking about how sometimes we're tired and we don't want to come to NTI on Tuesday nights. And then we were talking about how we always feel much, much better when we come, right? Well, and then we were talking about we just need to remind the mind of that. We didn't use those words, but we need to remind the mind how good we feel when we come. And if we keep reminding the mind how good we feel when we come, what happens eventually? It wants to come. Yeah, it wants to come. Because you know what? It follows us, right? It's an effect. Just like everything else is an effect. So nothing is separate, not even the mind. So we can teach the mind to listen to truth. And then we also teach the mind that it's a mirage. We teach the mind that it really is just the effect. It's just the follower. It's not real. It's not in the lead. You know, we teach it that. Teach your mind to listen to truth, and you teach the mind that it is a mirage also. In this way, the mind becomes willing to be quieted, and in the quiet of the mind, the echo of truth can be heard. Teach yourself to be quiet through the desire of your heart. Teach yourself to remain quiet in willingness and faith and love. In this way, you teach yourself to be attentive in peace. It is through peace that the remembrance of your truth is heard. To me, resistance is an amazing thing. I mean, we were talking before we turned the recorder on that I thought hot flashes were amazing. I think resistance is amazing, too. I just think it's an amazing thing because we know, we all know, because we're not idiots, That if we eat right, we feel better. If we get a certain amount of exercise, we feel better. If we take time to contemplate every day, we feel better, right? And yet how often do we ignore what we know and we eat wrong, we don't exercise, and we skip our contemplation? You know, it's amazing that we would be that way. Why would we pick to not feel better? Can anybody think of a logical reason?
No, because it must be what we want on some level.
It's not logical. It's illogical, right? And so what this is saying is teach yourself to be logical. You know, really, pay attention. Learn through contrast. What makes you feel better and which do you prefer? Do you prefer to feel better or feel worse? And teach yourself that you like to feel better. Teach yourself, hey, I like to eat this way, I like to exercise this way, and I like to contemplate this way because I feel better and I like to be happy. Teach yourself that you like to be happy. Teach yourself that you like to feel good. Teach yourself that you like to be at peace, right? Because you know what? We often actually waste our time in an unconscious way teaching ourselves the opposite. You know, like if potato chips happen to be my weakness, I teach myself that I love to pig out on a bag of potato chips, even though I feel like crap every time I finish, right? So, but who is it that's saying, oh yeah, I want those chips, I want those chips? Who is it that's doing that, right? That's what we're teaching ourselves. So why not teach ourselves the truth? Because it's not a truth that I feel better when I eat a bag of potato chips. It's a lie. I mean, everybody knows it's a lie. Everybody knows it's a lie. So why don't I teach myself the truth? And, you know, and that's all this is saying. Of course, this is speaking about truth itself. It's not speaking about how you eat and how you exercise, but somehow they all fit together. You know, they're all the same thing. There are certain things that make us feel better, certain things that make us feel worse. Let's teach ourselves the truth. This is what I really like. Not this imaginary like. This is my real like. This is what really makes me feel better. This is how I'm really happy. This is how I'm really content. And keep teaching ourselves the truth. Verses 6 to 8 says, teaching is the way to learn. The one you teach is yourself. In this way, teach yourself your one true desire by demonstrating your desire for it with every thought that comes into the mind. So again, this is saying, you know, be just extremely consistent in teaching yourself what you really love. You know, so when the mind shows up and says, ah, you know, today, you know, I don't want to contemplate today. You know, I'd much rather, you know, whatever, blah, 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 blah. Say, no, mind, I hear that, but the truth is, I always feel better when I contemplate. I know right now I don't feel like doing it, but I also know if I do, I'll be really happy I did it because I always am. And just, you know, teach yourself. Just continually teach yourself about what's best for you, about what you know is best for you, because you do know, right? You're all shaking your heads. Nobody's disagreeing with me, right? You know, right? So teach yourself that.
It reminded me of last week when you talked about that woman that was enlightened through the Course, that she said that she told herself all the time was, do I really want to be angry or whatever, or do I want to be healed or enlightened? And she kept teaching herself.
She kept teaching herself. That's exactly what she did.
That really stuck with me, and now that you're reading this, I'm kind of like confirming it.
Yeah.
That we do have to say that to ourselves. Do I really, really want?
Yeah. Yeah, this is really asking us to be the teacher of ourself, you know. And there's no reason why we can't, because we do all know what really makes us feel good. We've had enough experience by this point that we know. Some beginners might not know yet, but every one of us, you know, by the time you get this far in NTI, you've had enough experience. You do know by now. You've had the experience of the days you didn't contemplate and the days you did contemplate, and you know the difference, right? Yeah.
After all these years.
After all these,
I could have known better when I wanted to bolt. Do I want to bolt, or would I just like to choose peace now?
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
That's what I really want to feel. Judge this situation.
Verses 9 to 10. Teach the mind to be subject to the heart by being grateful for the desire of the heart. Through gratitude, desire is stretched within the mind. Let the desire for love expand within the mind that is conscious, and the conscious mind will give more willingness to rest at the feet of the heart. Yeah. It is beautiful. And you know what? It's absolutely true. If you continually be grateful, oh, I'm so grateful I contemplated today. You know, I just love this clarity that came. You know, I love this idea. I'm going to keep this idea with me all day. And, you know, maybe every hour, or every half hour, or just every time I remember, I'm going to take it out and review it and be grateful again. And you know what? The more and more and more you do that, the more your love of truth and love of self rises into consciousness instead of it being unconscious, because it's there. It's definitely there, but we keep it kind of repressed. And so it rises out of repression, and then we become consciously aware of, oh my God, what I want to do is. And if you listen to anybody who became, I'll say, enlightened through a process, you know, some people have these spontaneous awakenings that came out of nowhere. They don't count in this case. But if you listen to anybody who's been enlightened through a process, whether it was a process of meditation, A Course in Miracles, or whatever, they all say the same thing. At some point, they got to the point where they loved their spiritual practice more than anything else. Every one of them will tell you that the love just grew and grew and grew until there was nothing more important to them. There was nothing they wanted more. And so, you know, this is what this is teaching us. This is teaching us to become enlightened through a process, right? And so it's teaching us that process of focusing on that love of the heart, that love of contemplation, that love of spirituality, so that it just expands and expands and expands until everything else dims by comparison. Like, this is all that I want, you know? And I would imagine then you're just right on the edge of enlightenment, and it's only a whisper for grace to come and pick you up from there, right? Yeah, just a little whisper. Verses 11 to 14. Now, focus on the heart in gratitude. When the mind is found busy forgetting, remember again in gentleness for it. The mind is willing to listen to the heart, but it needs your willingness to remember for it. The mind is easily distracted by forgetfulness, although forgetfulness is no longer the desire of the mind. Now, what's really interesting about this, again, is here it's really clear that you aren't the mind. Because it's saying the mind will forget, but you can remember for the mind, right? So it's really pointing out that you can say, okay, I see the mind over here doing this thing, but what I really want is the heart. Come on back, mind. You know, let's go into the heart. You know, and it's really pointing out that you aren't the mind. You aren't the victim of the mind. And you can literally wake up the mind with your remembrance. Love is the leader in all things. Lead with love in the treatment of the mind, and the mind shall respond with gratitude of the heart. That's another thing. Don't scold your mind. You bad, bad mind, you're being distracted again. You bad, bad mind, you're judging again. You bad little mind. You know, this is saying, be gentle with the mind. You gently call the mind back. You're distracted, let's come back to the heart. Oh, I see that judgment. We're not really interested in judgment. Let's come back to the heart. You know, it's kind of nice to, well, I'll tell you what I'm being reminded of right now, although you all don't have the same experience as me, but when I lived in Okinawa, Japan, one thing that I was amazed by was how gentle the mothers were with the children. Because, you know, I came from at least an area where the mothers could get pretty annoyed with kids. And you see that. You know, mothers yelling, I'm going to snap your ear. Dude, get over here, you know, in the store. Get over here. You behave. And, you know, right there in public, right? And we see that here in America. I never saw that in Okinawa. You know, it was always, come back over here with mommy now. And you're just always this gentle correction. Exactly. It was always so sweet. You know, and I guess that's just the culture there. But they were just always so sweet. You didn't see that annoying. I swear, we have a great way as mothers, without knowing it, telling our children that we just hate them and they're the most annoying thing in the world. Right? We do that here in our culture. But they didn't do that there. So what I'm thinking of when I'm reading this is, you know, be to your mind like an Okinawan mother to her child. You know, they corrected the child, but there was a love in the correction, a sweetness in the correction. You know, I don't know that the child felt hated or attacked by the mother. That's a beautiful ring on your finger.
Thank you.
So lead with love in the treatment of the mind. You correct it, but correct it like an Okinawan mother corrects her child. Yeah, in that sweet, sweet way. What do you think, guys? Should we go ahead and just finish Titus?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, let's go for it. A whole book in one night. So Titus chapter 3. Be ready to remind yourself of your truth. The way of the thinking mind is forgetfulness, but your way is the way of remembering. Joyfully remember whenever the mind forgets, and the way will be filled with happiness and deep gratitude. So again, the same theme. The mind's going to wander off into distraction. The mind's going to wander off into judgment. You know, the mind's going to wander off into wanting to eat a bag of potato chips even, right? But you know better, and you're not the mind. And so you just remind the mind, you know what? I want to be happy. I want to contemplate. I want to do what makes me feel better. Just come on, let's come back home, you know, and we'll be happy together. You know, you just be very gentle with the mind, but you be the one who reminds it of what's true. Your true self is the self of love. This is your reality and the connectedness of all that you are. Everything you do for love at the call of love. To perceive yourself in any other way is merely a small misperception in your mind. Now, sometimes we listen to the ego, right? And sometimes we, you know, maybe get angry at someone, right? We get angry at someone. And then we think, oh my God, I slipped, I forgot, you know, I'm a horrible person, blah, 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 blah. And this is saying, you know, that's not really true. Like, you couldn't slip into your ego if there wasn't still a wanting of ego in the total mind, in the world, right? You know, there's still the desire for the belief in individual will and separation in the world. And when you accidentally slip into your ego, all you were doing was joining that desire. But because that is a desire that, you know, many parts of the world still want to experience, that's just love. That's just like playing a game, you know? So you didn't really do anything wrong. You just kind of slipped into that side when really now you're trying to teach yourself to be on this side. That's all you did. But you didn't not love. It's impossible. It's impossible to not love. Even when you're playing the game of separation, you're playing the game of separation with people who want to play the game of separation. So that's still love, right? So, you know, don't go misperceiving yourself as being outside of love. That's impossible. But remember, we're here to now awaken to what makes us truly happy. And by the way, when you slipped a while ago, were you really happy? Okay, notice that. Now come back to what makes you really happy. Right? Again, everything is very gentle. There's no judgment. It's learning. You could call it learning through contrast. Right? Learning through contrast what you really want. But you are never outside of love. It's impossible. Because remember, everything is a process. Everything is connected. Everything is an effect. If there wasn't a desire for the belief and separation in the mind, there wouldn't be an ego for you to slip into. Right? You aren't separate even when you slip into ego. You're still a part of the, you could call it the overall energy that is happening right now. Okay? So you're never outside of love. That's an impossibility. Verses 9 to 11. Love yourself through the remembrance of what you are. Rejoice at your experience through the realization of what it is and how it comes to you. Love and gratitude are the natural response to all things. Any other response is misperception and can easily and joyously be let go. This is, again, it's referring to that same thing. It's referring to our apparent slips, you know, which we think of as slips out of love. And this is saying, you know what? Be happy. Rejoice at your experience, even these apparent slips, through the realization of what it is and how it came to you. It's still a part of that oneness. Like, again, if there wasn't a desire for separation within the mind, you couldn't have slipped into an ego because there wouldn't have been an ego to slip into. You know, be aware that what is happening, even when you seem to slip, is still connectedness. You know, you're just connecting to the desire that doesn't make you happiest right now. But you can't be outside of connectedness. It's impossible. And so notice that. Notice that you are still connected. And, you know, all you have to do is turn on the news to see that there's still desire, right, for that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, it's everywhere. So you weren't not connecting to people when you slipped into anger. Look how many people are being angry, right? I mean, you were connected in the anger energy. Okay, maybe that wasn't really was going to make you the happiest, but you were not disconnected. You know, it kind of cracks me up now that I used to believe I was separate. I really don't have that belief anymore. In fact, now I don't see how I ever could have had it. Because now, to me, what separation means is somehow I have to be able to cut this out of this and not be here. But can I cut this out of this? You know, I can't. You know, like if you look at a photograph, that whole photograph is one photograph. Right? This whole universe, even though it appears to be separate forms, is one universe. You can't take this out and separate it. You can't. And when you see that, you realize there really is no such thing as separation. You don't even have to get to the invisible energies that keep us connected. You can see there's no way to take yourself out of it. You know, you are here, you are connected, you are a part of it. And again, that doesn't matter whether you're being in your right mind or your wrong mind. You're still here, you're still connected, you're still a part of it. And Titus wants us to remember that. Because you know what? The more you remember that, the faster you're actually going to return to your right mind. What keeps you in your wrong mind is the belief in separation. When you take away the belief in separation, it is actually natural to be in your right mind. So what we want to do is notice that we can't be separate, even in our wrong minds. We're still a part of the whole and what's going on here, right? Verses 12 to 14. Remember me when you seem to lose yourself, and you remember yourself through me. For I am that which you are. I bring yourself to you because I am thyself. To know me is to know you, and to know you is to know me also. Now that is very, very sweet, and it just reminded me. Now, of course, for me, the teachings of Inner Ramana came a few years after this paragraph was written. But in the teachings of Inner Ramana, there's a very similar message. It's called the grace of the guru. And what Inner Ramana says is, he says, I sit in your heart, and I light a little fire. And then, you know, so that you will notice your heart. And he says, but when you come, you light the entire chamber. And this is kind of saying the same thing. Remember me. Remember spirit. Remember how much you love reading my words. Remember how much you love contemplating me. Because you know what? That me that you love, that's your true self. It's just like saying, I'm sitting in your heart, lighting a little fire. But you know, you are your heart, right? So if you love spirit, you're actually loving your true self. And so go ahead and remember spirit and remember how much you love spirit. And that is actually calling yourself home, because what you're really loving is your true self in that moment. Verse 15. The peace of God is in all things, because the peace of God comes to you through all things when you choose to see the purpose of all things as the peace of God. Amen. And again, this is literally saying it's all a matter of how you look at anything. You know, of course, right now, the big news, I think, at least it seems like it is on my news channel, is the stuff that's happening in Ferguson, Missouri, right? You know, which some people are calling racist. You know, it's I call it fear. I don't call it, that's why I said some people are calling, to me, it's just fear. You know, there's a lot of people in fear. But, you know, we have what appears to be the cops looking like an army against a community who is mostly peaceful with a few what they're calling antagonizers, and it explodes into violence every night. And I know that there are a lot of people who are actually upset watching this. But you know what happens when I watch that? I see what happens if we believe our fearful perceptions. That's all I see. And you know what then happens is it reminds me not to believe my fearful perceptions. So you see, even something like that just becomes a way to communicate to yourself what you really want. You say, see what happens when we believe our fearful perceptions? See how bad it can get? So I want to remember, when a fearful perception comes up, I want to remember to let go of it. It doesn't need to turn into a violent explosion. Because really the inner violent explosion is the same thing as the outer violent explosion, right? So what this is saying is every single thing you look at, you know, the war between Gaza and Israel, every single thing you look at can remind you of what you truly want. Every single thing you look at can remind you to stay in your heart. There is nothing in this world that can distract you from it if you don't want to be distracted. That's the key. If you want to remember, every single thing is here to help you remember. Whether it's showing you the wrong mind or the right mind, it's reminding you of what you want. The wrong mind is reminding you of what you don't want, and the right mind is reminding you of what you do. So they're both reminding you of the same thing. Right? Amen. So, we need an assignment, and I think, you know, this was pretty clear, that it wants us to teach our mind what we truly want. Why don't we just try that this week? Just continually, consistently teach ourselves what really makes us feel better, what we really love, what we really want. And if the mind starts to wander, of course, gently call it back, gently, like an Okinawan mother. And just remind it what you really want. And just be the teacher of yourself this week. Good? All right, let me stop the recorder and we'll go into a bit of silence.